This is Florence Whitingale, and you are listening to today's Boondoggle on Domain Cleveland Radio.
What's going on, everybody? It's Bill Bailey with today's Boondoggle on Domain Cleveland Radio. I just wanted to take a minute in this little intro before the intro to give you an update on some of the things we got going on here at today's Boondoggle. And we recently launched an email account. So if you have any questions, suggestions, or comments, you're enjoying the show, you want to see something different, you want to see certain guests on the show, you can reach us at todaysboondoggle@gmail.com. And as you know, the coronavirus lockdown has hit a lot of us financially. Boondoggle didn't escape it either. And if you want to support us financially so we can get you these interviews that you enjoy each week, you can donate to our GoFundMe. There's you get on GoFundMe, look up today's Boondoggle. We got a GoFundMe that will be ongoing. And as well as a Venmo, you can donate. If you use Venmo, go to Venmo, Domain, or today's Boondoggle. And then also there's our Anchor sponsorship on the Anchor app, anchor.fm. Look up today's Boondoggle and you can become a monthly sponsor to us there. As you know, this is a veteran-owned and operated program we got going on here. It's very been, man, incredibly therapeutic for a guy like myself who, you know, is a veteran with PTSD and anxiety. Just gets me out there talking with people and gets me out of my comfort zone. And it's been awesome. But it all costs us, you know, the travel, accommodations, to get to these interviews that you want to hear. So if you can help out anyway, we truly appreciate it. Also, please follow us on social media. It's at Today's Boondoggle. We're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Just please follow, subscribe, comment, download the episodes. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, you know, any of the programs that you use to listen to your podcast. Please. Do whatever you can to support us, and hope you enjoy this episode. Thanks.
Thank you for tuning into this week's edition of Today's Boondoggle. Domain Cleveland Entertainment is a veteran-owned and operated entertainment cornucopia of nonsensical shenanigans. You can find interesting interviews, music news, entertainment information, and just about everything else in between. Thank you again for tuning into the show here at Domain Cleveland.
What's going on, everybody? This is Bill Bailey with today's Boondoggle.
Boondoggle!
With my partner in crime, Neely. And today we got the pleasure of talking with Dr. Charmaine, and I'm very excited about where we're going. Neil set this whole thing up, and I'm very excited about the topics we're going to be covering today. So without further ado, I will let Neil get us going here.
Hello, virtual audience. Charmaine, it's nice to see you again.
Hey, brother.
I got the, how should I phrase this? The idea for this interview about a week or two ago. Coming to the realization as to how, you know, the government, the AMA, the FDA has been banning ivermectin and HCQ. And it got me thinking back in the days when I first met you, which we'll get into a little bit, when we started using, when I was hanging out with our friend Jim and we started getting into ozone and working with ozone and things like that. And it got me thinking about the stories you were telling me back in 2018 about the clinic down there in Miami, Florida during the AIDS plandemic. And there's a lot of parallels, I figured, when looking at ozone and looking at the alternative treatments available today. And it came to, you know, we know this already, Charmaine, that for decades and decades and decades, they've been banning cheap, effective, alternative means of treatment, whether they be natural or unnatural, They're still safe and effective. And there's, you know, that we know there's no money for any profit in the medical industry to use these things. It's one of the reasons they get banned. But let's start out with how you got into the health business and talk a little bit about the health food store and your background. Tell us about you, Charmaine.
Yeah, I'd like to give the virtual audience an introduction kind of to you, like how you first got into holistic medicine and healing.
Wow. Basically, my parents, my mom was born super sick. She spent the first 2 years of her life in a hospital. She had her legs were filleted open and they had drains hooked up to them. And anyway, she survived that. And needless to say, the ramifications from that terrible allopathic indoctrination within the hospital set the platform for her to have continuous and ongoing health issues. So one day, she walked by a health food store, and this is going to be probably 1962, 63, probably something like that. And there was this poster up in the on the store window, and it says, do you have ABCD? You know, there's this list, and she's like going, check, 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 check. Anyway, she walks in the health food store, and the lady gave her an Adele Davis book, and she read it, and that was where it all began. So mom decided with her free time, three kids, I don't know how she, you know, had that. She said, after you have two kids, once you get that third kid, you might as well have a entire tribe because you're already so crazy. It doesn't matter. But anyway, she decided.
You're conditioned, I guess.
Yeah. She decided to open a health food store and, you know, she's real good investigator and people would come into the store and it was like a 300 square foot store. And they would come in and she'd say, if I don't know the answer, I'll find it for you. And all of a sudden, everybody in the Toledo area are getting these incredible, you know, health effects without the drugs and without the doctors by learning how to go back to indigenous medicine. You know, basically, it's pretty fascinating when you consider the fact that in a very small area, if there's a plant that can kill you, the remedy exists within the same area. And that for every plant that can heal you, your body has a receptor site to accept it and is able to do something with that. So this is nothing new. This is all there has been since the beginning of time for all life on planet Earth. But after World War II, we realized that, you know, Operation Paperclip, you know, they didn't get rid of all the big bad guys. They just snuck them over here and they opened up all these agencies that you're now hinting towards wanting me to walk down. Hey, let's see what these bands are really all about. And with that, they created NGOs. They're not even part of the United States government. They're private corporations that are funded by your tax dollar. How that ever happened is a mystery to me. But again, you know, they were doing all the sneaky stuff that now is finally coming to a head for everybody to actually see full blown. So, you know, I think your point, Neely, was, hey, look it, everybody's finally waking up to it. And I'm sitting here going, oh my God, I'm wiping the sweat off my brow. I'm putting down my bullhorning and my flashing lights. I'm getting off the roof where I've been jumping up and down and screaming at the top of my head for the last 55 years for everybody to wake up and realize that, you know, it's a very small handful of people that are directing the narrative. And when you see a band, well, I guess I need to go back to the history. So anyway, mom opened a health food store. And it really took off. And what was, it took off so well that right around the corner from our health food store, because I digressed pretty far down that rabbit hole, I apologize. But anyway, right around the corner, somebody opened a health food store. They were going to put Pat Bassett out of business. Huge, beautiful health food store, had a restaurant and everything in it. Lo and behold, 6 months later, they came and they asked mom, do you want to buy the store? We can't make it. So mom moved over into this bigger health food store. 2 years later, she went into a larger health food store. We are now in the late 60s, early 70s. And literally at that point, my dad said, you know what? I'm going to join forces. So, you know, my mother and father were like an incredible 1-2 punch because mom was the day in, day out. And they were both very prolific in their ability to study, retain, and more importantly, educate. And, you know, mom and dad's philosophy from the beginning has been, we want an educated consumer. But prior to that, remember, I was breastfed on the John Birch Society. I mean, mom and dad were holding, you know, John Birch meetings weekly. So we already knew that basically everything that you heard on the television, the radio, the newspaper, that it was a lie. And then once they opened a health food store, we realized even more deeply, the news isn't just lying about Bassett's Health Foods and the health food industry. It's invasive. It's pervasive. It's systematic, you know, control the narrative from the time you wake up until the time you go to sleep. In fact, it disturbed me so bad that I never read a newspaper. I never listened to the news. I never even owned a TV, and I refused to watch the television, because what everybody fails to realize is, aside from the neurolinguistic programming that they put through these indoctrination sets, they actually, if you were going to walk outside your house and look into the window in the evening, you would watch boom, 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 a blue light, which puts you into delta theta, which is a programmable mode. And then they hit it with a hertz, which means cycles per second, which is also that delta theta frequency, which is a hypnotizing frequency. Then they add in the neurolinguistics and all the subliminal stuff on the TV. I mean, if you were going to walk in on somebody watching a drug commercial and you clap your hands three times really loud and yell, stop. And then the people would turn around. You'd say, what did you just see on the TV? They couldn't even tell you. And it becomes really apparent, fast forward to present times, it becomes really apparent when you have somebody like Fauci going on the television and tell everybody wearing a mask, and everybody just does. I mean, they've really perfected this whole brainwashing mechanism to the point where people have lost all sense of logic and ability to deduce for themselves that two really does equal four. Promise you it does. And that black isn't white and white isn't black. So anyway, what was really cool about mom and dad joining forces is my dad became a freedom fighter. And he literally went out. He wrote many bodies of legislation. And, you know, you brought up something in Miami. So I'm going to go to that scenario, and then I'm going to branch off to how dad's concept really came in handy. So the guy's name was Basil Wainwright.
There you Wayne, go.
Wainwright. Yep.
Right.
And he had a clinic in Miami, and I was living there at the time. And basically, he was curing, that word that you're not allowed to say, since they passed some, not legislation, but some statutes, which doesn't even apply to men and women on the land. But nonetheless, you know, what I come to realize is human beings are pretty amazing. And I don't think gullible is a fair word. And I don't think stupid's a fair word. And this is where my heart goes out and I become the most concerned. And that is, everybody thinks that everybody else is as honest and as good-natured and as good-hearted as they are.
Sure.
That's really, really what it ends up being. So, you know, oh my God, everybody's going to die. Instead of asking, why is it that we've never masked up or distanced healthy people before? Instead of that being, I mean, that's the first thing that popped into my mind, you know?
Or why haven't they suggested wearing masks during all these bad flu seasons? I remember back in the late 80s sitting there watching the nightly news with my dad and them talking about how bad the flu season was that particular season, you know? And they never suggested masks to us before.
Right. And so everybody just jumped on that. But, you know, they first tried their new program. And I don't even want to tell you about Saturn and the moon and how they run all this stuff through the Wi-Fi towers and your cell phone and your computer. I mean, it just seems too far for most people to even want to wrap their head around. But the bottom line is, when they did the toilet paper hoax, that was their test run to see how successful they were going to be with this entire, like you said, plandemic, scandemic, whatever you want to call it. The biggest fraud perpetrated upon the entire world and mankind. And truly, if you look at it, I really feel that underlying it all is the fact that all financial systems are failing. Mm-hmm. And whenever they do, they always try to kill off the older people. And what they've done to the older people is, we could do three interviews just on that topic.
Well, we have, if you, when this is over, you can go to our Domain Cleveland, and you can go back to episode 133, Bill.
The liquidation?
Yeah, where we called that episode The Liquidation of the Nations. And we talked about the birth certificate, how it's worth value, and how the government basically essentially win-wins all the time, because if nobody claims it and you die, they just cash it out and pay off their creditors.
which is why I was really excited to do an interview with you, because out of everybody, and I've done so many interviews and lectures over the years, I lecture about 60 hours a month. And I mean, your level of education is, you know, right on point with what the truth really is. And, you know, you and I could talk to each other, but up until the last 2 years, for most people, you know, we might as well have been speaking Chinese, but this has been a rude awakening for most people. And I think it really comes down to the fact, more than, hey, what is the truth in the situation, is I'm sick and tired of putting on a mask and being told what to do. I mean, simplicity sometimes is the best tool. People are sick and tired of this crap. Well, thank God. But this whole thing has backfired on them. And, you know, people are waking up when they were planning on just basically sheep to the slaughter. Well, unfortunately, a lot of those people have been led to the slaughter. And again, that could be three more interviews. But Dad, what he did is he realized that the political end of it really is, in order to keep health and nutrition available to the masses, he had to fight and stand on the front lines for health freedoms. Yes. And he truly, my dad, I mean, I stand on the shoulder of giants, both my parents and the work that they did. I mean, one day I aspired to do the work that they did. You know, Dad,
I got a real quick question for you. Because you had mentioned your mother and the condition she had with her legs. What did she end up doing then after doing her research to treat that?
Well, so she was in her 30s and she started applying, you know, what God gave us, what Mother Nature provides and God protects, and that is true remedies, true cures. And her health did nothing. I mean, at one point, her teeth were so loose that they would just wiggle in her mouth. I mean, I could go on and on and on. But anyway, she became healthier and healthier and healthier. And the health food store got more and more popular. And, you know, by the time she was in her 80s, she would go and get blood work. She changed insurance companies. She went and had her blood draw because that's a requirement for the insurance companies. And her blood work came back better than most 20-year-olds without having been on any meds since that 30-year period. She had never done any pharmaceutical meds. So I think that speaks to itself.
I remember speaking with your brother years ago, and I asked him, what was it like growing up with your mom running a health food store? And he said, man, it sucked. I said, what? He goes, yeah, man, she wouldn't let us eat, you know, sugar. She wouldn't let us eat sugar cereals, and she wouldn't let you guys have those things.
Well, it was really funny because I'll never forget one of the first times that I'd spent the night at one of my girlfriend's house. Well, let's just say they're spending that night at my house. So I would have a tent in the backyard, and then you'd wake up in the morning and everybody was hungry. I was like, give me a second. And I'd run in the house and I'd get the cutting board and the boiled eggs. And my family had a restaurant, a health food restaurant. So I'd bring out, you know, the industrial size brick of raw milk cheese. And I'd come out with the knife and I'd be like, okay, let's go. And they were like, what are you doing? I was like, well, we got eggs and cheese. This will be a great breakfast. And they just thought I was crazy, which I am, but that's a whole different topic. And then on the inverse side of that, I would go to their house and spend the night, and it's breakfast time, and we'd walk down in their pantry, and I would see these foods in there, and I thought that those foods were just on commercials. I never knew that people really ate that crap. Yeah. So, you know, I really didn't. I was so surprised, because this was, in our lifetime, especially during when I was a child, was really when they started trying to move us from real food into mono planting, industrial farming, let somebody else grow your food in large quantities, let's stick it in a box. And they tried to get us away from real food into processed food. And, you know, because I only had the real food around me, the processed food just seemed so aberrant and out of the picture for me that I thought that was just in the movies, so to speak.
Wow.
Wow.
Did you have, did I cut you off?
Yeah. Well, I was just going to, it was something kind of similar when you mentioned your brother, but like, so you grew up around all this stuff. And then as you got older, then did you embrace it, obviously, and then start doing your own research to continue?
Well, actually, it's much more beautiful than that. So we start from the age of six. And the first thing that Dad really was into was mind control. And as a result of that, there was a huge split between L. Ron Hubbard and Mind Dynamics. And those two guys split apart. And the Mind Dynamics end was the one that my dad stuck with. And I, like, for fun around my house, I would be blindfolded and everybody would sit around the room and make a bunch of noise and they would move a Kleenex box around. And I had a golf tee, and blindfolded, I was supposed to throw that golf tee inside the Kleenex box. And dad made sure that we got proficient to the tune of like 97%. And then he would have us call somebody halfway across the world, and I would have to do a virtual scan on their body to see what's going on with their health. And then I would have to remotely send them the healing frequency, and we would record this and see, you know, the level of ability that we had doing these types of things. So we were at the forefront of that type of stuff. Dad brought over the psychic surgeons from the Philippines, and I took a 2-year class and got certified. I think it was 12 when I finished that certification.
Jeez.
I think I was 14 when I got, now imagine, we're going back to like 1972. Imagine, yeah, I just got my 2-year massage certification. Hey, do you guys need a massage? Can you imagine a 12-year-old trying to, you know, give you a massage to help heal you? I mean, where did that fit in? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So every class that mom and dad took, I took with them. And I literally soaked it up, sat in the front row, took good notes, you know, was the best student in the class, got the best grades. And it's never ending. Dad brought Takata over from Japan. That's Reiki. Her daughter, of course, has totally adulterated that to such a level and made it way more complicated than it needs to be. And that's what I see happening, is people are making medicine way more complicated and the body way more complicated than it needs to be. And boy, I can make it way complicated too, if you give me a chance. And I love spouting off my encyclopedia type knowledge. But if you really take a look at what, you know, your body is trying to do, it's really simple. It's trying to get nutrition in and toxins out.
Yeah.
And that's
okay. So then like, so you're growing up and you were probably what, in your 20s when you lived in Miami?
Yes, I was in my 20s when I moved to Miami. I went down there to go to medical school because I always knew from the time I was very young that I should become a doctor. Yeah. I mean, I was very clear on my mission from as long as I can remember, just like I knew that I wasn't going to die in this lifetime, that our body was supposed to go with us. I mean, I don't know why I knew that. I didn't even know what that meant. It was an innate wisdom that I just always, when people started talking about death and all, I was like, no, absolutely not, you know? So I was taught remote viewing by Dames, and I can't remember if he's a general or a colonel, but he's the one that taught the military how to do that.
I think he lives over here on, he used to live over here on the east side of Cleveland, I think.
The Men That Stare
at Goats movie.
Yeah, because yeah. I took classes from him out in Reno, Nevada. And it just so happens that in that class, here's the way it works. When you perfect remote viewing, first, the premise of remote viewing came from the fact that psychics can only bring in so much accurate information. And the people that brought me the psychic surgeon class, her name was Carol Ann Liaros, and she taught the blind people how to see. And I was in a 5-year mentorship with her. She was out of Buffalo, New York. And she was the person that the FBI and the CIA would call to, you know, solve crimes that nobody else could solve. Mm. And she said, Charmaine, first and foremost, I need everybody in this class to understand that the problem with being a psychic is it does not translate properly into the third dimension, because I'm seeing Mrs. Brown, but it could be a brown coat. It could be a brown day. It could be a brown tree. It doesn't translate very well. So what happened was the military then took a bunch of psychics and they were able to methodically break down the steps that need to happen so that a single individual that's trying to come up with a target and a resolution and a solution can be about 80% accurate. What they found was that if two people come together and do that same remote viewing simultaneously, is they can be 100% accurate. Wow. So my sister and I are out in Reno, Nevada with mom and Gail, taken, I think it was level 3 at that time from Dames. I think it was Colonel Ed Dames, taking his class on remote viewing. And my sister and I both came up with the same picture, which is, usually you don't draw the same picture. Usually they mean the same thing, but we drew exactly the same picture and it looked like a playing card with something flying through it and cutting it. And it just so happens, I love to play craps. I'm very successful at craps. I use that mind control that Dad taught me to roll those dice. And I always have Pop blow on it. Come on, Pops, blow on those dice for me. And I shake them up and I get the whole table involved, because we know if I can get some two or more people to focus on the same outcome, quantum physics says that your chances of manifesting that are much greater. So I used to play with that at the craps table and just really have a lot of fun. So all of a sudden, I'm at the craps table having a hot roll, and there's a bunch of shooting behind me. Literally physical, you know, guns are out and there's a shooting, and everybody had dove underneath the tables, and Sabrina and Mom are yelling across the room, "Charmaine, get down." I'm like, "It's okay. They're not going to kill anybody." And I'm still trying to roll the dice.
What was all the shooting about?
Well, it was two motorcycle games having a show out. It made national news. And
yeah, I saw that. It was I think I saw a documentary on the Hell's Angels. It was the Hell's Angels.
That's who it was.
Or some other up and coming gang.
Yeah, they were right behind
Reno, Nevada.
Yeah, they were right
behind
me.
They were stabbing and shooting each other all through that lobby.
Yeah, well, they were right behind me, but I was having a hot hand and I knew I was going to be okay.
You didn't have time for that.
Okay, so how did you get to Miami? Tell us about Miami and what's his name again? The doctor? I can't
Basil
forget
Wainwright.
Wainwright.
So here's what happened is we were running a clinic, which was perfectly lawful and legal. But the problem was, is we were curing everybody that came through the door because, you know, there was a doctor that was curing.
No, Charmaine, this is during AIDS, right? This is.
Yeah.
In the late 80s or something?
No, this is early 80s.
Okay.
Mid 80s. I'm bad with timelines. Don't ever quote me on the timeline. I make up timelines. I look at the way they mess with timelines right now. You'll be holding something and 3 seconds later you're like, "Yeah, I was holding that. Where to go?" So, give me a break. But Basil Wainwright and the clinic of my friends were curing, and they were doing it low key. They weren't advertising. They were truly just there to help people. They weren't expensive, and they were typically just doing ozone treatments. And what most people don't realize is Dr. Otto Warburg, which is where the whole concept of alkalize or die came from. There was two things that he was able to ascertain through all of his research on curing cancer. Now, when he first started curing cancer, the problem was, is that 90% of his patients died. And when he would autopsy them, he would realize cancer's gone, but the detox or the curing of the cancer killed them because it overloaded the internal organs. So he came up with very precise conclusions, two of them to be specific. One of them was that cancer cannot exist in an oxygen-rich environment. The second one was that cancer lives in an acidic environment. Now, I'm here to tell you that we debunked one and absolutely full acclaim, you know, party on, like best thing that that ever hit the planet was the oxygen rich environment. Ozone was already being used. It's been used for over 150 years successfully, but we know that it's your number one nutrient. It's 10,000 times more important than anything else you can do, which is, again, you know, Neely, where you and I met through Jim Robey, indoor air, because, you know, I came to realize living in a black swamp, all right, Toledo, till they dug the drainage ditches, we have the highest counts of aspergillosis and penicillium than anywhere in the world. We have more counts outside than most people have in a home that they have to. It's not even worth remediating. Just demo it outside. And you do too over in Cleveland. We're a black swamp. So as a result of that, our air quality just sucks. I'm sorry. Stinks. I didn't mean to say that, but it might happen here and there. I got to watch my mouth. Mom's shaking her finger at me right now. But anyway, the point is that because oxygen is the number one most important nutrient, 10,000 times more important than anything else that affects our health, is indoor air quality becomes paramount. And I used to, thanks to Jim Robey, he highly educated me on how to take a look at an indoor environment. And then more importantly, what to do to fix it. And then even a step above that, it's not to do what to fix it, but what to do to maintain it, because that's what most people forget. And it's really refreshing to see that here we are 30 years later and at the Cleveland Clinic, your guys' area, in their functional medicine department, that if you're their patient, they won't even take you till they test their indoor air, because they know that if we don't have good air quality, that they will never be able to turn around this patient that's in this dire situation. Hang on one second here. Let's see. That's too washed out. There we go. That might be a little bit better. I don't know. It's getting pretty late.
See the bonsai tree better.
Yeah.
It's just getting a little bit late. I thought I should add some more light to it. So, you know, Otto Warburg was 100% right on point when he said that, you know, you cannot have disease in an oxygen-rich environment. Where he was off base was on that, you know, cancer can only exist in a acid environment, which everybody grabbed that ball and ran
away with it.
Took it down the road and their alkalize or die. Now, the problem with that is your mouth is alkaline, your stomach is acid, your small intestine is alkaline, your large intestine is acid, your urinary tract should be around neutral, your blood is slightly alkaline, your skin is slightly acid. And if you change the pH in any one of those areas by 1 point for any length of time, you will die. And I've seen exceptions to that rule because there always is, but that truly is, you know, a big point of what we're dealing with right now. So this whole alkalize or die is a problem, because if you're too alkaline, you will enhance microbial function on the bacterial level. And when the bacteria come in, again, this is where infection is way off base. I believe in the terrain theory. I don't believe you can catch anything. And again, that's been well proven. Right now, there's a $5 million reward for anybody that can show us COVID-19 or any other virus.
Right, that can isolate the virus.
Yeah, doesn't exist.
Right, right.
It's the terrain theory. And my belief, and again, I've seen a lot of evidence to prove conclusively that this is accurate, is that bacteria are going to come in to clean up the dead cell debris that the lymphatic system couldn't handle. And let's say that the tissue is dying faster than the body can keep up with it, and the bacteria can't keep up with it, then what the body will do is will bring in bigger guns to try to clean up the mess. So that's the infection. So now let's get rid of the guys that are cleaning up the infection. And, you know, if you really are questioning that and taking your finger and putting it on your forehead and going, doesn't make sense to me, just look to nature. Anybody that's ever grown a garden has to realize that it's only the sick plants that the insects take care of, because they're remediating the environment. Now let's go on the inverse side of that. So if you have too acid of an environment, what's going to happen is the cells are dying faster than they can replicate, and the lymphatic system cannot keep up with the cleanup. So your body's going to start allowing molds and funguses to come in and take over and try to clean up that mess. And then when that doesn't happen and they can't clean up the mess at a deep enough level, then what's going to happen is the viruses are then, they're the big guns. When they come into the picture, you've already had a problem for a substantial length of time, and they're coming in, they're the big guns, and they're going to try to clean up the rest of the mess that's going on within your metabolic function, within your toxicology, within your cells, within your interstitium, within your lymphatic system. It's all been overrun. It's a systemic issue. So now let's go ahead and kill those guys off. So now your problem still exists. You're still getting all the die off from all the cells. Your body's not managing it. What do you think when that comes around and smacks you right upside the face, which is why I've never taken a cycle of antibiotics. I really beg people not to do it. I know sometimes it's labor intensive and can be really exhausting, and it may be the easy way out, but what you're doing is you're getting rid of your cleanup crew. So what's going to happen the next time you have a mess? And then that's why we end up in these disease paradigms like cancer or pneumonia. So what we're seeing right now is we're seeing this huge influx of pneumonia, and that's because everybody's been wearing the mask, and everybody's been social distancing, and everybody's been alkalizing or dying. So when you alkalize too much, the bacteria have to come in to clean up that mess, because the body's looking for homeostasis or balance. It's looking for somewhere around a 7 pH, so it doesn't have to work so hard to maintain itself, and the bacteria couldn't clean it up. So now I got to bring the big guns up, and what do you end up with? You end up with pneumonia. Now, we know very well from that 2008 article that Fauci put out that they sucked all the snot out of the people with the Spanish flu, and they applied it in every mean they could think of, you know, in a shot, intramuscular, in a vein, spray it on you. They have you breathe it. They have you ingest it. They did it with humans. They did it with animals. They did it thousands and thousands, an exhausting amount of thousands of times. And how many people do you think they ever got sick with the Spanish flu? Zero. They've done that with every single virus and disease known on the planet, and they cannot infect somebody. The only time that you can ever catch an infection, and excuse me, I have the hiccups, and I'm also on a ball. That's why you see me moving around. I got to keep my lymph moving, you know? And some people tell me that I have big balls, and I'm here to tell you.
We know somebody that's got a lot of balls.
I do have big balls.
Yeah, bad timing with videos.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do have big balls. I like to sit on them. But
the only time you can get a virus, you said, or something,
is if, and again, let's go back to our good friend who I used to lecture in the circuit with him, and that's where you and I met, Lenny Horowitz.
Sure.
Do you remember what he said? They had to be created in a lab. They actually are biological weapons. And then we inject people with them, and then they shed. And now, yeah, you can catch that.
Well, not to get too far off topic, but I've always had a question. Like, if that's the case, then, like, if I get bit by a bat or a dog with rabies, that is supposedly a virus, right?
Well, first off, did you really get bit by a dog with rabies?
Well, I don't know. I never have personally.
No, I'm saying let's stick to the topic. Let's do a what if. So you get bit by a dog and they say it has rabies. Well, yeah. How do they know that that dog has rabies?
Well, they would have to cut the dog's head off and check the spinal cord is what they told me.
And even more to the point, remember, they make you. You have to vaccinate your dog for rabies. How often?
Once every 3 years, I think.
All right. So what do you think that's actually doing based on everything I've already explained?
It's shedding rabies virus.
Yeah. They created it in it. But all the rabies viruses is your body's going to go in there and it's a biological weapon. So now your immune system comes into play. So let's go ahead and try to kill what's trying to clean it up. It's fast backwards.
I just thought of something too. You can't take
don't
your dog.
Don't do that. You'll scare me.
You can't take your dog to the groomer unless you show proof that it's been vaccinated for rabies. I mean, we're at dog level right now. What's going on?
It's pervasive. It's been well explained and well documented. I mean, going back to World War II, if you just read the Flexner Report and Operation Paperclip, you will realize that allopathic medicine was designed to do one thing. It's called death by a thousand cuts. And the reason why they get away with it is because you go to the doctor, you pay him, you take his script, you go and you fill the script, you pay for that, then you put it in your mouth. I guess you got what you deserved. My whole problem is, again, innocent human beings, you know, that think everybody's really out there trying to help them. But the problem is there was no informed consent. So there's actually fraud there. And what does fraud do? It obviates everything.
Like you mentioned earlier, it just slipped my mind. It's just like what Len Horowitz used to say. And like you said earlier, people are raised by loving parents in a loving community. And they're somewhat sheltered in the sense that they can't conceive that there's a group of people out there that are demising these diabolical plans to kill them.
Exactly.
And Len Horowitz used to use that movie, Green Mile, because in it, the prisoner tells Tom Hanks that we kill each other out of love. And it's because we love our kids. We don't want to see them get hurt. So we're going to listen to the doctor and go get them vaccinated.
Well, the thing is, we have never, and I'm going to guess, I think we opened up in 67, and that's going to be off a year or two, one way or the other. And we have never, ever, ever in the history of the store been a proponent or actually promoted. In fact, quite contraire, mon frere. I mean, we're trying to beg people not to get the inoculation because the innate immune system's wisdom far supersedes anything that a pharmaceutical could ever hope of doing. And when you look at everything else that they put in the vaccine, I mean, there is now look at we vaccinate, but how do we do that? We do that homeopathically. And the only reason why we have to create those natural inoculations, those natural remedies, is because of all the people that have actually been vaccinated. Mm. You know, if it wasn't for that, I mean, what kind of oxymoron is that?
I got a question for you too. Now, you said you went to medical school to become a doctor. What was that experience like, knowing what you grew up around?
Oh, no. No, no, no. I said I went to school to become a doctor. I never said I finished school. After about two years, my goal became searching out other ways to get education because I was thirsty. And I will tell you that even though I have three different doctorate degrees, I will tell you that my biggest education actually comes from going out and learning from the people that practice and have created that modality. Yeah. By the time something makes it to a school, it's obsolete. It's 40 years old. It's worthless. It's absolutely worthless. And you know, if you take a look at every indigenous culture, their medicine man or woman, herbologist, Wiccan, witch, you know, what or whatever you want to call that individual practitioner, they learn. It's passed on. You go and you study with the person that's actually practicing that medicine. And typically, if I'm going to take a look at, do I consider this a viable adjunct to my practice? Well, A, number one, has it been used for any length of time? If it has been used for any length of time, let's say, you know, dad was, he helped bring acupuncture over to the United States. Well, let's see, acupuncture, it's been around for 5,000 years. Well, that's a lot of history. There's nothing that's going to supersede. Something's been around 5,000 years. There's probably a good reason for it. But then, you know, we've got this three-legged stool. And then the second leg's going to be, let's see some research. Now, you know what? I hope you take my class on how to read research because most of the research is totally, it's blasphemy. You can't even call it research. Give me a break. It's like when they put out that article on hydroxychloroquine that was debunked immediately, you know? Yeah. And then more importantly, what I have, because those first two steps, anybody on the streets can go out and find that information and they can figure out those two things for themselves. But what my family and I have going for us is I see somewhere between 200 people a day that we apply those sciences to, and then we can see where that result gets us. And that's, there's no price tag to be put on that. And that's what allows me to feel very confident when I say XYZ is going to be the outcome, or this is the road that we need to travel down towards our goal. Because remember, this is not a destination. Your health is not a destination. It's a journey. And how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. And if you realize that only 1% of the population is overweight from overeating and everybody else is overweight because they're over toxic, all right? Then you have to also realize that by the time you leave your house in the morning, you have used over 250 deadly known disease-causing cumulative toxins. Mm-hmm. So when we see a disease pop up in an area that they want to call an infection, what ends up happening is they just dropped a bunch of radio towers in that area. Mm-hmm. They just, you know, directed their water the wrong way, or somebody's dumping the toxic waste from the barium plant into the water system there, or that farmer is using DDT or glyphosate, you know, Roundup on his plant, and that's going into the water, which is why we have microcystine on the lake. Everybody knows microcystine is from glyphosates, but yet they still let them use glyphosates. It's like, this stuff that we're talking about is easy to fix. The question becomes is why have us humans sat back and allowed them to still use glyphosates? Or more importantly, why are you still spraying your rose bush with Roundup? Mm-hmm. These are my bigger concerns, right?
Yeah. So tell us about your experience in Miami and what happened to Basil.
All right. So basil, luckily we had somebody that gave us a heads up and said, feds are coming for you. So all the people.
So at this time, let's back up. So you had been treating people and actually healing them with what was assumed to be AIDS.
It doesn't matter what it is. They were sick. They were dying. Yeah. Very few people were surviving it. In fact, one of my best friends died from AIDS. And at that point, nobody knew anything about AIDS. So his family, his friends, and the hospitals wouldn't take him. I allowed him. I shared a townhouse with a couple girlfriends. He stayed in my house until he literally had to go on oxygen in a hospital and he died of AIDS. And I was around him the entire time. I thought it was ludicrous that, you know, here you've got somebody that you love and you're afraid to have them around you because you may catch AIDS, which is going to take us to that story that you started with. You started talking about gay people.
Yeah.
Well, Dad, around that point, had brought over some herbs that were curing AIDS, or what we call the symptoms of AIDS. And there was actually a doctor called Dr. Joan Priestley. And this was actually a scheduled, it went through all the proper channels to, you know, get this qualified for curing AIDS. And Dr. Joan Priestley was the one that was directing the studies and doing the hands-on administration of these nutrients to her patients. Well, what ended up happening is the AIDS was going away. But as a side effect, they were becoming straight. Now, this was the first time anybody on the planet had dived into, you know, something of this magnitude using herbal remedies. So we didn't know what was going to be side effects. We had no idea what we were getting ourselves into. And it turns out that about 75% of these individuals that were getting cured of AIDS were also turning straight.
Wow.
And you know, when you're gay, because, and you know, we're going back to like the mid 80s to the mid 90s. I mean, you know, that was still taboo. I mean, people were still hiding behind and cloaking themselves when it came to, you know, having a variety of sexual preferences, which, you know, let me just get this out of the way. I don't care what you do in the bedroom and I don't even want to know. If I want to know, will you make me a video and send it to me and we'll put it all over the internet? I mean, come on. Really? You know, that's personal. It's none of my business. I don't care. When I meet somebody, that is the last thing that I'm thinking of is who does he have sex with at the end of the day? That doesn't even fit into the equation. Give me a break. Yeah. Why are you out there like you're proud of who you have sex with and you need to explain it to me? I don't care. Please don't bore me with that nonsense.
Yeah.
But anyway,
you go, girl.
Well, but you got to remember, I'm a dancer.
Yeah.
And I worked with the guy that was the guy that died, that nobody would let around him. His family ran the ballet in Cuba, and they got out because Miami, right? Like, so a lot of people got out of Cuba before it was fully communist. And his family ran the ballet in Miami. And the guy was an incredible dancer. He changed my life. He was one of the best mentors I ever lived under. You know, it was just absolutely amazing. So I've been around gay people my entire life. It's a non-sequitur. It's a non-issue. I just don't care. It's not even part of a conversation. Nobody cares. But, you know, back to Joan Priestley and Dad with this AIDS cure is that these people were turning straight. And because they had spent, you know, the last 10 years of their life, you know, coming to terms with the fact that they were gay and being, you know, being okay with themselves, and now they're straight, it was not acceptable. So of course, typically, if you look at, you know, when somebody comes across new information, you know, there's three steps, you know, first it's ridiculed, then you get angry, you know, and then you come to acceptance. Well, these people made it to the angry part, and they actually started threatening Joan Priestley's life. They had damaged her office. They threatened, you know, to blow her up and kill her. It disturbed her at such a great level that she dropped working with my dad to do this research. And she left her practice and moved up to a very small little teeny tiny town in Alaska to open up a private practice. And she took very few patients because it literally, the amount of PTSD she had from that situation, I don't know that she's ever over it.
So they were angry because they were no longer gay?
Correct.
And I'm kind of curious, like, what that research, I mean, what was causing that desire? Was there some sort of, like, you know, I don't know.
The way I understood it when you told me that back in 2018 was that I thought that after they had detoxed for a while, like some of the protocols you employ at Anyana Kai, that once the toxins were gone, then they became straight.
Yes, yes. So let's narrow that down and dial that in. So you must remember, like I was saying, is by the time you leave your house in the morning, you have used over 250 deadly known disease-causing toxins. And there's several categories. One of the most prevalent ones is something called petrochemicals. And what are petrochemicals? They're synthetic estrogens. And what are those synthetic estrogens? Anytime something has an aroma, something's a cleaner, something's a solvent, something's a preservative, something's a dye in your food, something's an artificial sweetener, something is a plastic container that holds everything in, and the list goes on and on and on and on and on ad nauseum till infinity, is those are petrochemicals, which are synthetic estrogens. And the problem is once they get in your body, they stay in your body and they mimic estrogen. On top of that, they plasticize and gunk up all your receptor sites. And the analogy I like to give is, you know, you've got this chair and the screw in it is starting to loosen up. So you just done everything you could to tighten it down and wench it in and a bigger screw. So finally you said, screw it, and you super glue it. So now you super glue it, but you got this big relative that keeps sitting in the chair and eventually that breaks loose. Now, let me see you get that screw out with that super glue. You're going to have to take some of the wood out with it when you pull out that super glue. That's exactly what's happening to your cells with these petrochemicals, is they're getting in those cells and they're working just like that super glue, and they're plasticizing and gunking up and creating lots of damage. Mm. So if your estrogen is sitting way up here, where are the rest of your hormones? And here's the thing, is everybody thinks when we talk hormones, we're talking estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, DHEA, pregnenolone. You know, there's only about five hormones we talk about. Do you know that for every biochemical reaction in your body, there's a hormone? For you to see me right now, for you to smell right now, for you to sit there right now, those are all called hormones. Other names for them, neurotransmitters, neuropeptides, peptides. They are actually the molecule that allows an emotion, that allows a thought, that allows everything to occur. And they're typically going to be a sulfur-bearing amino acid combined with a trace mineral, maybe two. Like, for instance, in order for your thyroid to work, you have iodine combined with the amino acid tyrosine combined with the trace mineral selenium and iodine. And until you have those raw products, your body can't even manufacture thyroid hormone. But without that thyroid hormone, your body temperature and your ability to manage all the environmental shifts at a rapid level, okay, aren't going to happen. So the bottom line is there's a million hormones in your body. We're still discovering them. But the second that you take, you know, you've got this huge orchestra and you've got your conductor. And the second that you have one instrument that's severely out of tune and playing a whack job of his version of the song that you're trying to, you know, get everybody together on, I mean, that damage, that balance, that estrogen is like the super glue in the chair. And that's where we're at. And that's why we have so many problems. That's just one of the toxins. So again, I'm, you know, Dad always wanted to open a detox depot, and that's what our place is. We affectionately call it the detox depot. You need to know what you're doing when you're taking toxins out. I call it releasing the Kraken. If you release the Kraken without caging him, you'd been better off not releasing him.
And a good example of that might be like when I was there and I was going through the protocols, we would put the different, I think, amino acids in the water with a little cherry syrup, and you would drink that while you were detoxing. And that was, I forget them offhand. I still have them at home.
Yeah, well, those sulfur-bearing amino acids are your best friends. Those actually are molecules of emotion. Those are actually are neuropeptides. Those actually are neurohormones. Those actually are hormones. So that's what those are when you take those. And, you know, when those came out in the 80s, they did their best with that whole tryptophan debacle. Where they lied and they poisoned and they try to get rid of amino acids, because amino acids bypass digestion and they go in and they go right to work because they are the ones that are driving the information. So you've got to remember, one of the reasons why I'm a neuroscientist, if you can get the brain to work, that's what sends the signals to the rest of the body. Without that signal transferus, there's nothing else that's going to happen. So we can actually take a physical problem, let's say digestive, and treat the area in the brain that drives the information and fix the physicality of that area. But they all work together and we shouldn't separate it. But the reason why we opened the Detox Depot is because you're not sick, you're toxic. And you know what? It is a testimony to the human spirit, soul, whatever you want to call it. We humans, we be amazing, because we should never have survived what they've done to us. And boy, we could do 3 years worth of interviews to cover that topic. The way they've genetically modified us on so many levels, and our soul, you know, so many of us still connect to our soul and still are able to get some part of the truth enough to be like, yeah, no, it's not okay. We're, you know what? We know what's going on here. We're not playing that game. But the problem is, and this is where I see the biggest complication is at, is if you truly are human, which means that you're going to behave as if God and all life matters, that means that every action that you do during the day needs to be frontal lobe, mid alpha, mid beta, and you pick it up and you go, is this going to hurt me or anything on the planet? And if it is, you set it down and you don't look back. And that's where we're at right now, is people think that they need more things than they really actually need. I mean, one of my philosophies is, and this was what I did with my daughter for the first 2 years of her life, is how many days a year can I live in a tent? Because we have become so material on shit, and I hope I don't get striked for that, but this crap that we're convinced that we need, which is 180 degrees, you know, it's a polar dichotomy of what we actually do need. It's unprecedented. And I mean, it's just, we're in a world of hurt at the same time we're in a world of enlightenment. But I just feel that human nature is such that we really, truly do want the best for all life. Most people have not been educated. Most people don't even know how digestion works. Most people don't even understand how food works in the body. You know, 99% of the doctors all the way up till 10 years ago would have told you that nutrition, food, and supplements can't change anything. Now, all of a sudden, they couldn't shut my big mouth up. And so now they're the vitamin experts, you know, they're the ones prescribing nutrition. Give me a break.
So, you know? So Charmaine, so tell us what happened to Basil. You said that I cut you off earlier. We got off on another trail, but you said somebody says, hey, the feds are on you guys.
Yeah. So, and thanks for getting me back on track, because I'll go down a million.
I know days. I'm trying.
I know. But so what happened is the people that worked in the office, they got out of town. Basil, there was no place for him to run. There was no place for him to hide. And God bless him, he's like me. It's like when they came to get me those couple times. He let him, you know, he went peacefully. And the problem was, is they actually put him in jail without charges, which is pretty typical. You know, everybody's talking about all these things that are happening to him, and they're getting defunded, and they've got IRS coming after them, and they've got, you know, the worst case scenario now, perfect example, is what they're doing with people from January 6th. You know, my understanding is somebody's already died during their lockup, their illegal lockup. So anyway, he was put in jail without charges. And then finally, because I was so concerned for Basil, I said, God, I remember what Dad did when he created Citizens for Health. The reason why he created Citizens for Health is because there was a doctor that was treating his patients with God-given nutrients, supplements, and vitamins. And a SWAT team came into the office, fully armed, threw everybody down to the floor, broke his son's back, picked up this doctor, threw him in jail without charges. So Dad, brilliant mind that he is, created something called Citizens for Health. And he got 3,000 people. This was before emails, text, internet. You know, all we had was snail mail, faxes, and telephones. He got 3,000 people outside of that jail to petition around the jail. They let that doctor go. That doctor is now one of the most world-renowned doctors. He's called the father of bioidentical hormones. He has several clinics out in Washington State. His name is Dr. Basil Wainwright. So that popped in my head, and I said, I know what we're going to do for Basil Wainwright. So I got on the Ron and Ron radio show, and I got everybody to call in, and then a bunch of people went down there and protested. And so needless to say, because public opinion does have a lot of power, they released him. So what he did when he came out is he said, you know what? I'm done with the United States. I'm done of being harassed. For pennies on the dollar, I show people how to cure AIDS and cancer and all these things. And all they want to do to lock me up, he goes, I'm going to the next aid capital of the world. And he went to Africa.
South Africa, right?
Yep. And when he went to Africa, he started curing AIDS and Ebola for pennies on the dollar. They built a statue for him. He became a hero. And sure enough, the FDA, the cabal, the Illuminati, the Satanists, what, you know, fallen angels, I don't care what you want to call them, the Archons. Anyway, a million names for him. They came in, grabbed him again. They locked him up, and he went through a similar type of scenario. They, of course, exactly. Good people. You know, they're going to respect this man, and they got him out of jail. Last I heard, and we're going back probably about 15 years now, he said India is the next place we need to go. And he went to India, and I haven't heard from him since. I pray every day he's still alive. That guy is one of our light workers. That guy is truly, I mean, I call them path cutters. You know, you land on the East Coast in the 1800s and you got to get to the West Coast. Good luck if you make it. You know, it's first a footpath, then it becomes a trail. Then we can get a horse down it. Then we can get a buggy down it. Now we have super highways. But that path cutter, those first few people, they had the hardest job. That's what Basil Wainwright was. And now there's a lot of practitioners that are embracing ozone again. But here's the thing. A rectal insufflation of ozone is 99% as effective as an IV. Why are you going to charge your patients $150 to $300 a treatment to give them an IV of ozone that you have to be certified in because you're putting a needle in somebody when for pennies on the dollar, a dollar a minute, you can do a rectal insufflation or you can buy a machine. What seven treatments would cost you, you could buy your own machine and do it at home. And you could do the same exact thing, minus 0.01%.
Now, rectal insufflation is, you know, taking the catheter and putting it up there until you know
up
it's
up there, up your butt, up your bum.
Up your butt, you know, and then running some pure ozone up there.
Right. And, you know, I will tell you for the last 40 years, 28 and a half days out of 30, I do at least 9 minutes with the rectal insufflation, but I also do L07. Listen, here's the bottom line. If you have a hole, put it in it.
Yeah.
So this is like coffee enemas or something? Or
well, no, coffee enemas, you know, again, that goes back to Otto Warburg. And he actually went in front of the Congress because, you know, after he realized he could cure cancer without killing his patients, his number one tool, of course, was the coffee enema. Because coffee gets the liver to dump all the toxins, and it's also the most powerful antioxidant on the planet. So you don't get all the cellular damage and breakdown because you're giving a NFR2.
Well,
go ahead.
Forgive me. That brought me up to something else I wanted to share. Like, you remember how me and Jimmy had the silver fillings, and then we went and we went to Frackleton and he monitored our mercury levels. And then we got the fillings taken out. And then we went on DMSA and he monitored us. And, you know, when you would first go on the DMSA and you would take 500 milligrams, and if you had a lot of metals in your body, at least with me and with Jimmy, let's say if I took it on a Saturday morning, I would end up sleeping all day Saturday. I would get symptoms like I had the flu. It wouldn't be like I had a cough. It wouldn't be like I had sinus problems or a headache. It would just be like I was completely exhausted. And from what I understood, the way Frackleton explained is that like that DMSA will in your bloodstream will grab a hold of that metal and it'll pull it along like a tractor trailer. But with the heavy metals like mercury and lead, it can only pull it so far before it breaks loose. And as it's going through your body, to be excreted out. It's like a tractor trailer, and that trailer's whipping back and forth, and it's hitting your cells, and it's causing a lot of cellular damage, which is kind of like the way I interpreted you talking about super gluing the screw in, because when you're detoxing, you're damaging stuff as well.
Well, and that's where the Detox Depot comes in, because our job as educators, you know, we want that educated consumer, is the only way you can experience negative results from detoxing is if you did not support the detox enough. So anybody that's on a detox protocol, and by the way, I love Frackleton because he recommended DMSA. That is the only chelating agent that is not, that will not kill you or damage your brain and your nerves and other tissue. And you should never, ever, 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 do a heavy metal detox without supporting mucosal membranes first. And that is the biggest missing link for 99% of the practitioners out there. The other thing is a lot of people will tell you, hey, cilantro gets rid of heavy metals. Yay. Yeah. It's so awesome. The problem is it's not a sulfur bearing amino acid. So it doesn't cage the crack and it doesn't grab it to pull it out of the body. It releases it as a free radical, and the amount of tissue damage, i.e. what you're talking about, that trailer banging around, that'll be that trailer's going to be on steroids, and it's going to just knock shit right and left and just take it out.
Once again, what's a glucosal membrane?
Mucosal membrane.
Mucosal. Okay.
So your that's where you know you are only 10% human. 90% of you is a microbiome of bacteria and funguses and parasites and anyway, this plethora of microbials that without which you would not be alive. They live in the mucosal membrane. But what happens in that mucosal membrane? Remember, our cell is trying to do two things. Nutrition in,
nutrients,
toxins out.
Toxins, yeah.
Right. That happens across the mucosal membrane. Right under your skin is a mucosal membrane. It's the open aspect of the lymphatic system in the interstitium. And I know that sounds like Chinese, but basically what it means is all hollow organs, every blood vessel, capillary, lymph vessel, every hollow organ in your body, every tonsil, stomach, liver, pancreas, spleen, pituitary, everything in your body, all the organs, the entire endocrine system, contains a mucosal lining. And what happens there is that exchange of nutrition and toxins out. It's the most delicate tissue in your body. It's the first one that gets destroyed by all the Wi-Fi that we're being exposed to. It's the first thing that gets destroyed if you have too many heavy metals and you start detoxing heavy metals without supporting it. I will guarantee you that 97% of everybody that starts detoxing heavy metals without supporting their mucosal lining will end up with permanent digestive problems. I will guarantee that they'll end up with permanent respiratory, sinus, and kidney problems. Again, it comes back to supporting what, that.
So I'm sorry. So no, what does DMSA does not damage the mucosal membrane?
Out of all of the pharmaceutical ways and means that they have used, you know, in Toledo, there's a lead factory. And by law, they have to test all their employees every month to see if they have excess lead levels.
Yeah.
And needless to say, even with all the highly pressured negative air conditions that they create within their factories, and they do a hell of a job, some people still sneak through the cracks because of the job that they have, and they end up with lead poisoning. So the doctors and the labs at these factories will send them to Bassett's, and they will come in and they will get an oral chelator and they'll get tested. And, you know, God, I don't remember anybody that after a month of being on these oral chelators, you know, they can go back to work. The problem is that out of all of them, so you got your EDTA, you got your DMSA, and you've got your, and the third one's escaping me. All of the ones, except for the DMSA, they will, even though they're pulling out those heavy metals and they're doing a great job of doing that, they're breaking down that mucosa at such a high level that the risk to the benefit you don't even come close to breaking even. And it's actually the opposite. The amount of damage you're doing could never make it worthwhile. So yeah, you'll get back to work, but you know, you're going to end up with some severe disease on down the line as a result. So one of the things I tell people when they're learning how to detox, i.e. heavy metals out of the body, because you're a welder, so you work with a lot of heavy metals.
Yeah.
No matter how good your exhaust system is, and you know how good your respirators are, you know, your skin, everything is going to pick up those vapors, you know, that methylated form of mercury or heavy metals, whatever it is you're around, you're going to absorb them. If you're not doing something on a regular basis with your diet and with your nutrients to cage the Kraken and pull it out of your body, there will be a price that will be paid for that. So you do need to do chelation therapy on a daily and an intense one, like every 2 to 3 months. DMSA is a good choice because it actually can cage the majority of those toxins and pull that all the way out the body before they release the Kraken, release the caged animal, release the caged animal. But if you're not supporting the mucosa, that delicate tissue, which is the first that's going to be destroyed, then your ability to get nutrition in and out of the cell is going to be wiped out. So long term, doing this continually is going to be a huge problem.
Now, not to get too far out of topic, but I remember years ago, your father, a few years before he finally passed away, like was walking with a cane, and didn't he get damaged heavy metal poisoning without buffering it?
Well, remember, when Dad first realized that he had excessive levels of heavy metals, we were in the neophyte. We were so green. Oh my God, we were so green. We were chartreuse, maybe with some fluorescent green in there with it. I mean, we had no idea what we were doing to take these heavy metals out of the body. And unfortunately, my dad ended up being the guinea pig for that scenario.
Wow.
And the amount of nerve damage and mucosal damage that was done to my father by the time we realized what was going on. I mean, his brain and everything was so gone. You know, once you get into that Alzheimer's dementia link, you know, one day they're your best friend, the next day they want to kick your ass. I mean, good luck accomplishing anything. And you know, I mean, thank you, Dad, for standing on the front lines and doing everything that you could to teach people the importance of detoxing. Unfortunately, we didn't know what we were doing when we first started out with you. And there's a perfect example of not supporting the detox, right?
Yeah. So we've gone a little over an hour, like, but the point of this whole thing I wanted to share with the Boondoggle listeners is like, look, them banning HCQ and telling everybody that don't take ivermectin because it's a horse tranquilizer, me and you, we know it's bullshit, but it's nothing new. They've been banning this. They've been banning everything that's healthy for us for a long time.
All right. So first off, rule number one, if the FDA says it, put them in your rearview mirror and don't look in there except for as a reminder of why you never want to listen to them. A ban is like a mandate. There is no enforcement behind it. If there is enforcement behind it, they are breaking the law. When somebody bans something, it tells me that we're over the target and we're hitting the nail on the head. It means that's really what you want to do. The problem is most people live in so much fear. I mean, I'm the only person I know that when they banned HCG, I was like, oh no, 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 no. I'm still going to carry it. They're banning NAC. They're banning all these things. Yeah. When they ban it, I stock up and I still sell it because they're not part of the United States government. That ban doesn't mean jack diddly doo wop, do a tap dance on it and tip your hat. I mean, it's just nonsense, truly just nonsense. It means nothing. And everybody needs to realize that if you're still watching the lamestream media and listening to what the FDA says, then my job's a lot bigger than it needs to be.
Yeah. Quickly, tell us a little bit about Bassett's Health Food, where it's at. And tell us a little bit about Anyana Kai, and then tell us a little bit about how the listeners could get in touch with either of those places or you.
All right. So Bassett's Health Foods is, been in Toledo for just about 60 years, not quite. And, we take a licking and we keep on ticking, you know, they're really hitting us mom and pops. I'm working so many hours. It's a miracle that I'm not sitting here just babbling and drooling while I'm talking to you.
Oh, well.
But okay. We're in Toledo, Ohio, phone calls, the best way to get a hold of us. I don't have time to do all the social linked up. I mean, in fact, if you look at most the Facebook and the post about them, it's a bunch of trolls saying how I don't know what I'm talking about. And look at her. She's telling people not to wear a mask. I mean, do you realize that when this whole thing started, that I stood on the front lines, I had to pull up my bullhorn again and my flashing lights and my big sound machines. And I had to get up on the roof and go, don't wear a mask. Don't 6 foot distance. Don't anyway. And so I had every agency, city, county, state, federal, come in with guns and badges and try to shut me down. And I, you know, I'm not that big of a human being, you know, but dynamite comes in small packages, dang it. And when they would come in, I would very, very politely say to them, because they don't know what they're doing. Just like every agency that tries to shut me down, I will very happily put on a mask and tell my customers they have to 6 foot distance. If you could just show me the law. And they came in and they always harass. I mean, they put handcuffs on me. They take me to the firing line. They pull the trigger. 100% of the time, it's blanks. But it can't just be old white lady Charmaine Bassett on the front lines doing this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what's nice about what's happening right now is if you look around the world, everybody's waking up and saying, I do not consent. And that's really what it comes down to. So anyway, back to, if you go and look at my website, that it's nothing but insults and all that kind of stuff. But if you call the phone number, hopefully you won't be on hold too long because I'm working like six people right now, but I'll be happy to talk to you. So that's Bassett's Health Foods, 419-531-2911. Bassett's Health Foods, 419-531-2911. And as an adjunct to that, we have affectionately called our place the Detox Depot. And we take a lot of pride in teaching people how to properly detox because most people are detoxing in such a way. And I hope and pray that nobody ends up like my dad because that was so painful and hard to watch. Mm. I mean, his pain level was so high at the end of his life that he could not even pull a top sheet over his legs and lay down at night to sleep without screaming. And there was no pain pill that took care of that level of pain.
I remember those days. It just seemed like all of a sudden me and Jimmy are in town and your dad is on a cane.
Yeah.
You know?
But the part that nobody talks about is that because of what's happened to me in the interim is I now realize that Wi-Fi and 4G and 1, 2, 3 and 4G, 5G can kill you, but it doesn't have much distance. 4G, you can't even, you know, escape through a cement building. Is that really was a bigger part of the problem. You know, with the heavy metals and with these nano particulates they put in us, when you combine those together, the Wi-Fi and being targeted is really, that's a topic that we have to explore. And it's really a bigger umbrella that all this truly fits under. And if it wouldn't have happened to me, I wouldn't be able, I wouldn't have the understanding I have of what actually happened to my having the pain that my dad went through and the torture that happened to him. No, I don't wish it upon my worst enemy. So I appreciate you bringing that up because that was why Dad and I opened the Detox Depot is we really need to make sure that we're handling the situations properly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got a quick question for you. Now, the people that are being put in the hospital that have been diagnosed with the COVID and stuff like that and have been treated with remdesivir, I've read all kinds of different things about that treatment, how it destroys the kidneys and stuff like that. Is there any way for anybody in our audience that might have gone through that can detox and fix their kidneys after something like that?
You know, there's Anthony Fauci at his finest. The guy only knows how to make things that'll kill you. I mean, that should tell you everything you need to know about him. And if you go back to the Spanish flu and you take a look at the person that was the driving force behind that vaccine that was killing everybody and the mask mandate, I swear to God, they definitely must have med beds because it looks just like him now. They say it's his grandfather, but I think it's the same being. But, you know, remdesivir is something he's been pushing. For what? I think it's like 20 years. I make up timelines, but the point's still going to remain the same. The reason why remdesivir never was qualified or passed by the FDA is because 40% of the people that took it died from kidney failure. I mean, the stuff is a nightmare. And the fact that they got it through on emergency use authorization is criminal. And it makes you wonder who set up those guidelines, because they're obviously someone who's part of the dark side of the equation and really has one goal, and that they need to get rid of 90% of us. Needless to say, when you go into the hospitals in the state of Ohio, 90% of them are going to try to vent you, put you on remdesivir, and do everything that not only is antiquated, but is proved to be fatal. You know, if you just take a look at the medicine that they have to put you on before they vent you, most people, the amount of brain damage that they experience will never be, I would rather be dead than live with that level of brain damage after I come off a vent. Give me a flipping break. Remdesivir should never be used. I do know some tricks. If you know somebody that's already in the hospital being tortured on these levels, I will show you how to get them out of those situations, because, you know, with COVID or quarantine, you can't get to them. And to me, the most criminal part of all of this is shame on you for putting my grandmother in the hospital and killing her and then telling me I can't be with her and hold her hand while she's dying. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the biggest atrocity through all of this. But having said that, yes, as long as the body has a breath in it, more importantly, the human soul, made in the image of God, we are now in a time of instant manifestation. So I tell people, please watch your every thought and your every word. But yes, there are a lot of things that you can do. I mean, I'll tell you probably, I think this story will capsulize it the best. It's a girl that's a lady. She's my age, maybe a few years younger. And she's been a customer of the store and a patient. And on Yanakai, we don't call them patients. We call them seekers. Because, you know, a patient and a doctor scenario. I mean, I took off, you know, I got the doctor degree because if you don't have it, nobody wants to listen to you. I took it off and went back to Charmaine. I put doctor on there because I don't know your audience. And boy, does that warrant a huge level of respect, which it shouldn't. It really shouldn't. That's why I put everything lowercase. That's not where I got my good education from. But anyway, she got really sick, couldn't breathe, got scared, which you should when you can't breathe, had no help, went to the hospital. It was the Toledo area. They wanted to vent her. She had enough sense to not do that. So they put her on remdesivir. And all of a sudden, while she was dying, something came over her and something screamed in her head, get out of the hospital. She got up, walked out, came and saw me. And she was literally couldn't breathe, was perfectly gray and yellow and green. And I said, they put you on remdesivir. She said, yep. Anyway, within 3 days, she was 70% turned around. Within 1 week, she was 90% turned around. That last 10% is an SOB. She's through most of that. Yes, you can absolutely turn yourself around. It's not that hard to do, but you better get on it sooner rather than later, because you know, the longer that damage sits in the body, the harder it is to turn around. And hopefully you didn't get the vaccine, although we can turn around the damage from that as well.
Well, I'm going to want to send you an email and talk to you offline about some stuff.
Why? Just put it out there. People need to hear it.
Yeah, I think talking about personal.
Yeah.
He's been seeking too.
Yeah, I'm a seeker as well.
Yeah, so maybe I can drag him up there with me. See, I was going to come up there today and flip out a tank for you and see some people up in Detroit. But I figured I'd take the day off and rest up because they got me working nights. But maybe I can drag him up there, because coming over here today, I was like, you know, I need to take advantage more often of Anyanakai. I need to go up there. And when I have maybe one tank to do, just go over there and go through the routine and jump in the sauna.
Neely, do you know that if you use Anyanakai the way it's designed to be used, that 1 4-hour period
would take you
9 months if you knew what you were doing to do the same thing, and you won't get any side effects, because again, our goal is to teach you how to have no side effect from detoxing. If you have a side effect from detoxing, you're not supporting it. And that's why we're there. We want to teach you how to do that yourself.
Yeah, I remember the last time I did it was probably last year. I brought my friend Chuck up there because he's a seeker as well. And we went through the routine. And on the way home, like, we were just, you know, you're just so relaxed.
Right.
After you get out of the hot and cold tubs and you've done everything that you have to do there, the infrared sauna, the vibrating pad, and the trampoline, you're just ready to go to bed, you know?
Hey, so let's just talk about one small aspect so people can maybe remotely grasp what we're talking about when we're talking about Anyanakai, the detox depot, which was my dad's dream. Dr. Nieper, he was a German doctor, and he was the one that put using essential oils in bathtubs and topically on the map. I mean, the guy was a mad genius. And what he would do is he would take his cancer patients, and he would have them do 8 hours of hot and cold therapy. Now, mind you, we have the microcurrent, the LED lights, the ozone, the hydrogen peroxide, the yada, yada, yada. I mean, it goes on and on and on. You know, I stack therapies. You never just get one therapy in any of my stations. But he would literally have his cancer patients do 8 hours of hot and cold. Now, they would walk into that therapy, and the exhaustion that they would experience after that 8 hours, they would have to be wheelchaired back to the room. But do you know that you could actually visibly touch and feel the tumor nothing. Would diminish.
Oh, froze up again.
What's that?
We lost you there. You ended you were talking about people having to be wheeled out in a wheelchair after the 8 hours of hot and cold, but you're saying there's a remedy for that. It's probably the drinks that we would do with the amino acids.
Well, no. What I was saying is the reason why he would have them do 8 hours of hot and cold and was happy to wheelchair them back to the room was because those tumors would visibly and measurably decrease substantially in that 8 hour session.
Wow.
Because what is hot and cold therapy doing? It's
constricting,
creating
a huge
hydrostatic pump. What'd you say?
No, I could hear you. I'm away from the mic. Yeah, I remember there, I would jump from the hot tub into the cold tub, and after about 30 seconds, I could feel the pulsing of my heart throughout my whole body.
That's
you know,
the lymphatic system.
Do you
know that every lymphatic vessel in your body has a permitted heart? For years and years and years, I consider myself the world's best expert on the lymphatic system. And not because I'm the best, because there are people that can go to a finite, smaller area, but better than me. But when you get overall indoctrination, more importantly, how that can be used to our benefit, there's nobody more that studied. I've studied. It's been a passion of mine for 45 years. And 40 years ago, there was no information in the United States, and I had to go to Germany. But the point that I'm trying to make is that pulse that you feel, that is literally the every single vessel of the lymphatic system has primitive hearts that line the entire vessel. So there's actually a synchronized pulse that you're trying to get with it. But back to Nieper, what he was doing was he was nutrition in, toxins out, nutrition in, toxins out. He was creating a hydrostatic pump. He was shrinking those tumors in those 8 hours measurably, because all he was doing was hence 1 hour in the hot and cold tubs is like running a marathon, but it's passively. You don't have to expend your glycogen. You don't have to go catabolic. You're enhancing that nutrition and toxins out to the nth degree. You're just enhancing metabolic function. And then when you add the other things in, you don't have to do anything but sit there, and you're literally mechanically driving as well as electromagnetically, because all the other, you know, technologies that we had, you're driving your metabolism. It would take you 9 months to do the same thing. Why wouldn't you do that? In every indigenous culture since the beginning of time, even up until the 80s, we had bathhouses that did this. In Miami, remember the Russian and Turkish baths? They would filter in salt water, and they had, I don't know how many hot rooms, I don't know how many salt water cold dip rooms. I used to spend at least 3 hours at a clip, 3 hours minimum, twice a week, doing hot and cold therapy, because the benefits are untouchable.
Yeah. It's funny because my brother and his buddy, when they were living down there, he told me, I bet he went to the same Russian bathhouse.
Yeah,
said he went
only
there quite
one.
A bit.
It's on South Beach. Yeah.
Yeah. He said he went there quite a bit. He said it was awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah. Well, we should probably try to wrap this up, yeah, huh, Billy?
We're going to have to wrap this one up, but I definitely would like to have you on again. To we could get into, you know, the Wi-Fi stuff and all, you know, all kinds of other topics we could cover. But I think I'm definitely going to want to plan a trip down there with Neil and meet you.
Yeah, they don't call me the walking encyclopedia for nothing. But here's the thing is I really think just it has to do with the fact of how many years I've been doing it. And, you know, when you've done it from such a young age, it's just who I am. I mean, yeah. I don't know anything else, right? And I know a lot. So thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. You guys are awesome. And like I said, Neely, I was really comfortable doing this with you because your level of education is almost unsurpassable. I wish everybody else would catch up.
That's a huge compliment coming from you.
No, seriously, you've spent a lot of years diving down those rabbit holes. And I love the fact because I'm a dancer and I used to have three dance companies in Miami and, you know, mom and dad were professional dancers. So I'm into the arts, but I love the fact that you take this information and you turn it into works of art, your production quality, your sound quality, your costuming. I mean, everything is just.
Well, you know, I'll give a lot of the credit to the parodies from Billy. Billy has been on my ass to make these parody songs under the Plandemic mixtape section.
The Plandemic Party mixtape.
Yeah, of the Flo White Show. If you go to theflowhiteshow.com, you can listen, at least listen. We finally did a video where I took that Louis Armstrong, who, What a Wonderful World, and turned it into Who's in Control of the World. Yeah.
Yeah, we got ones planned. We're just trying to find better people that are with video.
We need help with our videos. You know, there's a huge learning curve with us with the video. We don't know how to edit it.
I don't know. The videos I've seen, I don't. Hey, yeah, great. I love technology and I love when you can get all these special effects and that. But I kind of like the rawness of what you do. And the message is so profound and the entertainment is so. Just makes me smile. I'm going to go change my diaper right now because I think I just peed my pants thinking about my favorite one of yours, which is that one. You have the angel and you're wearing the white.
The Reptilian Brain song.
Oh, God.
See, that was all the stuff I did with Greg Reese, and now he's pretty popular. He's at InfoWars.
He's too busy for us little folks anymore.
Yeah,
but we've been doing, we got so much planned with the Plandemic mixtape. We want to put more videos out. And like I told him, I'm like, what we were talking about people earlier, the way to wake them up is through entertainment because they're just too busy wanting to be entertained. But if we can entertain them and educate them at the same time, you know.
And
but
I think it's good to have a mix. I think that's a great ploy to hook, line, and sinker them. But if you can get into more of the serious conversations, because at this point, again, you know, mom and dad, my parents' concept was always an educated consumer because here's the thing. The reason why I took off my doctor's hat is because the responsibility is on you. You know, I can lead you to water, but I can't make you drink. I can show you the toolbox, but you still got to pick it up and plug it in. And you got to have that education for that. And there's so much infiltration and misinformation out there. I hate to be the bad guy always pointing the finger, but God, have we been infiltrated?
It's personal accountability. It's up to us to learn. So,
yeah.
But anyway, thank you for your time. Really appreciate having you on and meeting you virtually, and hopefully soon.
We'll bring Billy up to Toledo.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right. In the meantime, I'll stay on the ball and keep bouncing. Follow the bouncing ball.
All right. I love you, Charmaine.
All right, you guys. Love you. Have a great night. Thanks.
All right.
You too. Bye bye.
Hello, and thanks for listening to today's Boondoggle. And now, for your listening pleasure, Florence Whitingale presents his latest epoch.
Forever and ever, we'll wear our hat forever. Now I know that last song was like daddy coming home. And you know you want more. And coming soon, you can find it at theflowwhiteshow.com. But for now, feel the flow. Exclusively here on Today's Boondoggle.
Thank you for listening once again to Today's Boondoggle Radio Show. Please be sure to check out our website, domaincle.com or todaysboondoggle.com for more shows and check out our archives. Follow us on social media at Today's Boondoggle on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter for more information about this podcast. And please support us on www.anchor.fm/Today's Boondoggle, as well as on our GoFundMe and Venmo. Be sure to subscribe, comment, download, and listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spreaker, and all the other podcast platforms out there. Please email us with any questions, suggestions, and comments via todaysboondoggle@gmail.com. Leave us some 5-star reviews and help spread the word. Thanks again for listening.
Thank you for tuning into this week's edition of Today's Boondoggle. Domain Cleveland Entertainment is a veteran-owned and operated entertainment cornucopia of nonsensical shenanigans. You can find interesting interviews, music news, entertainment information, and just about everything else in between. Thank you again for tuning into the show here at Domain Cleveland.